Mr. Brown te ayudarán a poner en forma tu inglés. Para más información, entra en la web cursodeinglesonlinebaugan.com e infórmate. Repito, cursodeinglesonlinebaugan.com. Quédate en casa con el curso de inglés online de Baugan.
Menos de 30 céntimos al día, seguro, ¿no?
Guess what time it is? That's right, it's Black Friday, and at Vaughn, we're giving it all away. Well, we're not giving it away, but at these prices, you can consider it a giveaway. Check out our website, and you'll find out about all our special offers, like a 30% discount on our online course, plus much, much more. Celebrate Black Friday with Baugan. More information at GrupoBaugan.com. Black Friday with Grupo Vaughn.
¿Quieres apuntarte a un curso de inglés y no sabes cuál escoger? ¿Por qué no pruebas nuestro curso trimestral de Baugan? Son solo 3 meses, no pierdes nada y te aseguramos que vas a ganar mucho. 3 meses en los que podrás ver cuál es tu nivel real de inglés. 3 meses en los que trabajarás tu listening y speaking en todo momento. 3 meses en los que subirás ese nivel tanto que... pues que querrás otros 3 meses y otros 3... Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Baugan.
Esta es La Hora Extra, con Richard Baugan.
Hello and welcome to the Extra Hour, Thursday's edition. Today is Thanksgiving Day. It's the evening, but in the United States, it's still the afternoon. Right now, it's 10 p.m., which means in New York, it's 4 p.m. In the center of the United States, it's 3 p.m. In the mountains of Colorado, in that area, it's 2 p.m. And in California, Oregon, and Washington, along the Pacific coast, it's 1 p.m. 8 out of 9 hours less than right now. So welcome to the Extra Hour, and welcome to a new opportunity, as usual, to continue improving your English. Today is Thursday evening. Tomorrow will be Friday. And I have a busy Friday tomorrow. I'm recording television. I have to do probably about 4 hours of television work, one after the other. Como churros. 1, 2, 3, 4. Programs for the TV. It's fun. I enjoy it. When I reach program number 300, class number 300, we'll see whether we continue or not. But in any case, here we are. This is an English class, so I'm waiting for your wise and very well prepared questions. Very well thought out. Very well. Preguntas muy bien pensadas. Fíjate cómo lo digo. Very well thought out. Esas preguntas son muy bien pensadas. Those questions are very well thought out. El añadir el out os despiste, claro. Thought out. To think, very well thought, no. Very well thought of, no. Very well thought about, no. In, over, no. Very well thought out. To think out something means elaborarlo pensando. All right, those. But in any case, don't worry about thought out. Please don't write it down. No lo apuntes, eh? Don't write it down. It will only create confusion. So, I'm waiting for a question. Richard, does the name Carrie Strater ring a bell? Carrie Strater. Does the name Carrie Strater ring a bell? No, it doesn't. I don't know anybody by the name of Carrie Strater. And I don't remember anyone in my past by the name of Carrie Strater. I don't know of any actresses by the name of Carrie Strater. So no, I don't know anyone. It doesn't ring a bell. The name doesn't ring a bell. Well, okay. Well, how about this name? What name? Well, how about... does the name Tommy Bird ring a bell? Tommy Bird? You mean like Larry Bird? Yes. How do you spell Bird? B-Y-R-D. And you're asking, you want to know if the name Tommy Bird rings a bell. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It rings a bell. Do you mean you know somebody by the name of Tommy Bird? I knew somebody by the name of Tommy Bird when I was in elementary school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Carnegie. When I was in fifth grade, Tommy Bird was in sixth grade. Tommy Bird. And he was the best athlete in the class in sixth grade. He was the best athlete. El mejor deportista, atleta. He was really good, I remember. He was the champion in the high jump, the long. He was fast. He could jump. He could play basketball. He could do everything. Tommy Bird. About a year ago, I looked him up. About a year ago, I looked him up. Se le busqué. I didn't look for him. Don't say anything. In internet, we look people up. We don't look for them. No le estaba buscando para dar con él. I was just curious, and I looked him up. I wrote the name Tommy Bird. And I found him. He's living in Oklahoma. Oklahoma City. Not in Tulsa. He lives in Oklahoma City. Tommy Bird. I recognized him, too. Of course, totally different, but I could tell. I could tell it was the same Tommy Bird. Yes. So, yes, the name Tommy Bird definitely rings a bell from my distant past. And yes, I knew a kid. He was 12 and I was 11, by the name of Tommy Bird. All right. Does the name Charles Johansson ring a bell? Charles Johansson. That sounds like a Swedish or a Scandinavian name. Yeah. Charles Johansson. No, that name doesn't ring a bell. Are you sure the first name is Charles? Yeah. Charles Johansson. Well, no, his name doesn't ring a bell. Should it ring a bell? I mean, should I recognize the name? Well, he's the son of his father was the, his grandfather. His grandfather was the world heavyweight champion. Boxing, you mean? Boxing, the world heavyweight champion? Oh, yeah. Well, his grandfather's name was Ingemar, typical Swedish name. Ingemar Johansson, yes. Yeah, Ingemar Johansson was the world heavyweight champion. I think, I would say in 1959, maybe. 1958, 1959, 1960, si me apuras. Yeah, let's see, Ingemar Johansson, double S. Johansson, Ingemar Johansson. I think he was, if I had to guess, to make an educated guess, I would say he was the heavyweight champion in 1959, 1960, maybe. Let's see, Ingo Johansson. He died in 2009. Fue boxeador. What language is this? I think I'm reading it Romanian. Hold on. Ingemar Johansson. Let me find him in English. Let's see. Ingemar Johansson was a Swedish professional boxer who competed, from 1952 to 1963. He held the world heavyweight title from 1959 to 1960. Okay, I was correct. And was the fifth heavyweight champion born outside of the United States. He defeated Floyd Patterson. I remember that fight. And the reason I remember that fight, in 1959, he defeated Floyd Patterson. Let me find the exact date of that fight. Let's see. He defeated Floyd Patterson on June 26th, 1959. Now, my grandfather died. Let me find out just a second. So I'll remember. Let's see. Thomas Davis Vaughan. Find a grave. I never remember find a grave. Encuentro una tumba. I can find my... Let's see. I can find my grandfather's gravesite. I can find my great-grandfather's. Thomas Davis Vaughan. He was born in 1841 and he died in 1913. But I think I can find his son. Definitely, I can find it. Let's see, hijos, Nancy Mary. I'm having trouble finding this. Let me see. Bear Creek Cemetery. I'll keep looking, find a grave. Nancy Vaughan. It's interesting, you can find graves now very easily. They are all right, here's my great-grandmother. Now, let me see if I can find... I still can't find it. I think he died... I wish I could find it. I didn't prepare this class, so I don't have the great... Thomas Davis Vaughan. Doctor. Let me put doctor in front. Dr. Thomas Davis Vaughan. Maybe I can find it. No, I still can't find it. And I have a photograph of it. Maybe I have a photograph here in my telephone. Let me check my... But I have a photograph on my iPad, but not here on my telephone, I think. Let me check just in case. Just in case. No. I don't have the... But you see, the reason I'm interested in my grandfather, what's the connection between Ingemar Johansson and the... And my grandfather, the world heavyweight champion in 1959 and 1960. Well, the connection is that I remember my grandfather and my father in Bertram, Texas, listening to that fight on the radio. I remember it very well. And this was in June 1959. Now, in June 1959, I was seven years old. But I remember my grandfather following that fight very closely. And he was talking about Johansson. The surname, the last name of this Swedish boxer, Ingemar Johansson. And I thought that his name was Jose Hansen, Joe Hansen. And so I thought, well, who's Johansson. And Ingemar Johansson defeated Floyd Patterson. And it was interesting for a white Swedish man to defeat a black American boxer, world champion. Floyd Patterson was the world champion. And Ingemar Johansson in Yankee Stadium defeated the American holder of the world title. But what happened in 1 year later, in June 1960, Floyd Patterson recovered the crown and he defeated Ingemar Johansson. And then he defeated Ingemar Johansson a second time in 1961. And then Ingemar Johansson won four more fights. And then he retired in 1963. Let's see, 1963. April 1963. And he was born in 1932. So he was 30. He was 30 when he retired. So he died in 2009 at the age of 76. He must have been a good boxer. Debió ser. He must have been a good boxer. To defeat Floyd Patterson. And he defeated Brian London, a very good British boxer. So, but you say, you were asking me if I know anybody by the name of Charles Johansson. No, I don't know anybody by the name of Charles Johansson. The name doesn't ring a bell. But If it's true what you say, that he's the grandson of Ingemar Johansson, then yes, his grandfather definitely rings a bell. I know a little bit about him. Okay. Does the name Paavo Nurmi ring a bell? Paavo, como Paavo. Yes, like a turkey, right? Paavo Nurmi. Yes, yes, the name Paavo Nurmi rings a bell. Come on, really? Who was Paavo Nurmi? Well, I don't know the correct pronunciation, but he was a very famous long-distance runner in the 1920s and 1930s. Yes, he was the best long-distance runner in the world. He won the 5,000 and 10,000 meters in the Olympics in Helsinki, and maybe, I don't remember. Let's see, Paavo Nurmi. I don't know how to spell his name. Nurmi. Paavo Noemi, no. I don't know how to spell it. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. Paavo Nurmi. Nurmi. Paavo, con doble A. Paavo. Okay, let's see. Now, the flying fin. El finlandés volante. El finés volante. The flying fin. Paavo Nurmi. He was born in 1897 and he died in 1973 at the age of 76. He was born in Turku, the Grand Duchy of Finland, which was part of the Russian Empire at that time. And he died in Helsinki. Yes, he was a Finnish middle distance and long distance runner. He was called the Flying Finn or the Phantom Finn. He dominated distance running in the early 20th century. He set 22 official world records at distances between 1,500 meters and 20 kilometers. He won 9 gold and 3 silver medals in his 12 events in the Olympic Games. At his peak, Nurmi was undefeated for 121 races at distances from 800 meters upwards. Throughout his 14-year career, he remained unbeaten in cross-country events and in the 10,000 meters. In pruebas de campo a través o campo traviesa. I don't know which one is. I think both are correct in Spanish. We say cross-country. You say campo a través o campo traviesa. And you know, I'm not sure which one is correct. Cross-country events. How do you say cross-country in Spanish? Let's see. Cross-country running. It's very popular in campo a través se llama. También campo traviesa. Ah, I have heard both. Yes. Pues, también conocido en los países de Hispanoamérica como a campo traviesa. Okay. El campo a través. It's a popular sport for long distance runners off season. It's a winter. It's usually in the winter when they run cross country. But Paavo Nurmi was incredible. Huh? So, of course, his name rings a bell. I was not a long distance runner. I was a sprinter, but I was always interested in running. And so he started running in 1920 and he retired in 1934. That's interesting. He ran his best times. Let me see if I can find his best times. He ran the mile. No, he ran the 1,500 meters in 3:52. He ran the mile in 4:10. Today, that's slow. Runners have improved incredibly. I suppose because of greater, more scientific training and better diet, better nutrition. But because 4:10 is in the mile now, kids do that in high school. And that was his best time. It was a world record. It was a world record that he set. And so it's quite interesting. And he ran the 10,000 meters in 30 minutes. 30 minutes and 6 seconds. Now they do it in 27 minutes, 3 minutes faster. That means he would be in last place today. And if he ran the Olympics today, he would come in last. And they would lap him twice. That would be very sad. But he was the best at that time. He was the best. Paavo Nurmi, so yes, that name definitely rings a bell. Yes. Does the name Victor Carlotti ring a bell? Victor Carlotti? No, it doesn't ring a bell. It doesn't ring a bell. I've never heard anybody. I've never heard of anyone by the name of Victor Carlotti. Although I'm sure there are some people in Italy with that name. It's an Italian name. But maybe it's Vittorio Carlotti. Victor, I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody by the name of... I don't know if there's anybody in the world. Let's see. Victor, lo pongo in quotes. Victor Carlotti, double T. Yes, there's a Facebook page for Victor Carlotti. Okay. But I don't know him. So now I know somebody by the name of Victor Carlotti. All right. Here he is. I can see a picture of Victor Carlotti. He looks Italian to me. But his friends, that's interesting, his friends have Spanish names. Or Eve Moya, Maximiliano Lozano. That sounds Spanish to me. However, Ludmi Sanabria. Ludmi doesn't sound Spanish, but Sanabria, yes. Sofia Coronel. I wonder, he's probably Venezuelan? I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell. But in any case, I don't know anybody by the name of Victor Carlotti. The name doesn't ring a bell. Well, do you know anyone by the name of Stan? Stan. Stanley. I don't know anyone offhand, a bote pronto, by the name of Stan. I mean, when I was in high school, yes. Stan Herndon and Stan Woods. I knew two people in high school, junior high and high school, by the name of Stan. And I knew of a famous baseball player, one of the best baseball players in history, probably in the top 20 baseball players in history, by the name of Stan Musial, who played for the St. Louis Cardinals. But right now, I don't know anybody by the name of Stan. And do you know anyone by the name of Larry? Larry. Let's see, no. Offhand, a bote pronto. Offhand, I can't think of anyone by the name of Larry. Again, I've known people by the name of Larry. When I came to Spain, when I started working in Spain and teaching, there was a teacher I met by the name of Larry Branshaw from Michigan, I think from Detroit. He was a good teacher, but he was full of himself. Full of himself. Lleno de sí mismo, o sea, engreído. Se dice, bueno, there are many words for the same as in Spanish. Arrogante, altivo, engreído, creído, soberbio. I mean, you have a lot of words for similar types of attitudes. And we have a lot in English as well. Stuck up. Jesus, now I can't think of any. Stuck up, full of himself, arrogant, snotty. There are a lot. But he was full of himself, Larry Branshaw. But he was a good teacher. He was a good teacher. All right. But I don't know anybody now by the name of. Well, do you know anybody by the name of Cindy? Cindy. No, I don't. But again, when in primary school in Oklahoma, I knew a girl by the name of Cindy Corp. C-O-R-P, Corp. But I don't know anybody now, I think. Let me think. No, offhand, I can't think of anybody by the name of Cindy. Cindy. I like the name Cindy for girls. Do you know anybody by the name of Clyde? Clyde. No, I don't. I don't know anybody by the name of Clyde. Let's see. I think the thing is, Clyde, at least in the United States, Clyde is a name, a hillbilly name. Hillbilly. Los paletos que viven las colinas de los Apalaches. These people you see in the movies sometimes who talk like this. They live and they make whiskey. Illegal whiskey up in the hills where the police can't find them. There they make whiskey at night. They make whiskey at night. At night. De noche. It's called moonshine. And it's true. Moonshine, que es luz, o sea, el brillo o la luz de la luna, moonshine, is illegal whiskey that the hillbillies used to make, now I don't know, up in the mountains in the Appalachians, very poor families, eh? And they made moonshine. So it's illegal whiskey. Rotgut, pudre tripas too, rotgut whiskey, moonshine, it's really moonshine. Moonshine, dice aquí, alcohol destilado ilegalmente, aguardiente casero. All right. Okay, that's moonshine. But it's made basically up in the mountains. You don't make moonshine in Moratalaf or wherever. So it's moonshine is made up in the mountains. But I don't know anybody by the name of Clyde. I don't know anybody by the name of Clyde. Do you know anybody by the name of Jeannie? Jeannie. Yes, I knew somebody, but I'm not going to expand on Jeannie. Maybe after the break, in the next half hour, I'll expand a bit on a girl by the name of Jeannie.
Have you checked out our Black Friday deals? No? What are you waiting for? We've got some killer deals for a limited time only. Take advantage of these spectacular offers. You can get a 10% discount on Vaughn Jr. Also, a 10% discount on the Curso Intensivo para Adultos en Navidad. 20 hours of intense English. Plus, discounts on our Curso de Inglés Trimestral por Videoconferencia and a 20% discount on Vaughn Town. You can also get our Curso Completo Vaughn Certified for only $99, originally $248.75, and so much more. Check out all our amazing offers. More information at GrupoBaugan.com. Grupo Baugan, Black Friday.
Ahora, desde tu casa, una clase Baugan. Por videoconferencia, infórmate llamando al 91-133-5833. Infórmate en GrupoBaugan.com. ¿Quieres tener un profesor Baugan? ¿Quieres tener toda la intensidad de una clase Baugan? Desde casa te lo ponemos muy fácil. Clases Baugan a través de videoconferencia. Una de las modalidades cada vez más demandada. Curso de inglés trimestral por videoconferencia. No importa dónde te encuentres. Con las clases a través de videoconferencia tendrás tu clase Baugan con un ritmo de clase brutal. Nunca te vas a aburrir. Nunca vas a perder la concentración. Pruébalo, dinamismo e intensidad. Llama al 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833. Eso si estás en Madrid, porque en Barcelona puedes llamar al 93-339-8687. 93-339-8687. Haz una pausa y disfruta, mejorando, aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Baugan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher. How are you doing?
¿Quieres que un profesor Vaughan llame a tus trabajadores? Con horarios flexibles y la posibilidad de cancelar o reservar cualquier sesión dentro de la misma semana. Elige el tema de conversación que tú quieras. Una conversación telefónica con un angloparlante con el ingrediente clave del método Vaughan para empresas. Consulta condiciones en el 91-133-5831. 91-133-5831.
Are you ready to start the class?
Don Quijote y Sancho Panza. Cleopatra y Marco Antonio. Adán y Eva. Romeo y Julieta. Vaughan y Disney. ¿Eh?
Sí, ya lo has oído. Vaughan y Disney siguen colaborando para que tus hijos aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Por fin puedes disparar tu carrera profesional sin salir de casa. Máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan. Ahora, desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com.
Hello again and welcome back to our second half hour. Yes, second half hour of the extra hour. Today's Thursday evening, so I don't know anybody by the name of Jeannie. You are asking me about Jeannie, and I didn't give you a straight answer. No tiene una respuesta clara. Curiosamente, se dice straight in inglés mucho. Give me a straight answer. Dame una respuesta clara. No andes con rodeos. Don't beat around the bush. Don't beat around the bush. Beat, beat, escrito, batir alrededor del monte bajo. Bush means arbusto, but it also means monte bajo mediterráneo, ese tipo de... To beat around the bush. Hacen batidas to scare the animals, las monterías de caza. They beating around the... Don't beat around the bush means no andes con rodeos. Get to the point. Give me a straight answer. Give me a straight answer. Straight. We don't say give me a clear answer. It's correct English, give me a clear answer. And people understand you. But the expression in English is give me a straight answer. Come on. Stop trying to avoid giving me an answer. Stop beating around the bush. All right, come on, give me a straight answer. So, when you asked me if I knew anybody by the name of Jeannie, I smiled. Because there are three Jeannies. There have been three Jeannies. But none of them were important in my life, but three Jeannies that I remember very well. One was Jeannie Bench. Interesting name, Jeannie Banco. Bench, Banco de Parque de Sentarse is the bench. Jeannie Bench. She was in my Longfellow Elementary School in Houston, Texas. So the last time I saw her, I was 9 years old. I had just turned 9. And I can see her anytime I want because I have a picture. Malin Kitt sent me a picture, a photograph, of my third grade class in Houston where I can see Nikki Malavis, Malin Kitt, Dennis Frank, and a lot of my classmates, and one of them is Jeannie Bench. Yes. She looks, with the name Bench... she has a dark complexion. She has a dark complexion. Tiene la tez morena. She looks mulata. She's wearing a brownie uniform. Brownie, los brownies que se comen, you know, the here they're very popular in Spain. But brownies has a second meaning. It's the Girl Scouts before they reach the age to become Girl Scouts. So the first stage is brownies, and then they become Girl Scouts. It's like the Boy Scouts. The first stage is Cub Scouts. Now the Boy Scouts are having big problems in the United States. They're having the similar problems to the Catholic Church, because the Boy Scouts attracts a lot of men who are interested in boys. And so there have been quite a few scandals are being discovered now. It could threaten the future viability of the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts, I was never interested in that. It never convinced me. There was something, I don't know. First of all, group activities of this sort, where people come together and they swear oaths, juramentos, this type of thing has never attracted me. I think viscerally, in mi fuero interno, se dice en español, viscerally, my system rejected this type of grouping of people. I think I was just more independent, and I still am pathologically independent. But in any case, Jeannie Bench, which makes me think, with the name Jeannie Bench, maybe she was adopted, or maybe her parent, because it's, or she was too dark in that, at that time, in that neighborhood. So I don't know. But she was a very nice girl, Jeannie Bench. The second Jeannie is a song. It's a very famous song in the United States. I dream of Jeannie. I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair. I dream of Jeannie. Con el pelo de castaño claro. I dream of Jeannie. The lyrics, and it's I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair, born like a vapor on the summer air. I see her tripping where the bright streams play, happy as the daisies that dance on her way. Es empalagosísima la canción. Buf. I'm looking at the lyrics. That's a very, it's a long song. I long for Jeannie with the day dawn smile. Anhelo a Jeannie, radiant in gladness, warm with winning guile. Wow, difficult to English here. I hear her melodies like joys gone by, sighing round my heart or the fond hopes that die. Wow. This song is too sickly sweet, I would say. I dream of Jeannie, but it was very popular when I was a kid, and it was so popular that, well, it's a classic in this type of easy listening. And then Hollywood made a TV program, a TV show called I Dream of Jeannie, which was a play on words. They took the name of the song, I Dream of Jeannie, and they use it as a play on words. Now, a play on words is un juego de palabras. Jeannie is spelled Jeannie, J-E-A-N-N-N-I-E, Jeannie. But also, un genio de botella, que frotas la lámpara y aparece un genio. Oh, el genio. That's a genie. Sounds the same. The spelling is different. The spelling is completely different. And the TV show, I Dream of Jeannie, Genie. I Dream of Jeannie. Mi bella genio. It's called in Spanish. And when I was 12 and 13 years old, she was my sex symbol. I was crazy about Jeannie. And so, I dream of Jeannie. It's a story of, by the way, Larry Hagman. Do you remember the actor who was J.R. in Dallas? Well, before he did Dallas, he was the star of I Dream of Jeannie. He played the role of an astronaut, a NASA astronaut, who crash-landed on a beach, and there he found a lamp. And he accidentally rubbed the lamp, and the genie came out, and it was her. And so she always called him Master. Master, amo, mi amo. And it was a really good and funny 30-minute sitcom, situation comedy. And the actress was Barbara Eden. And she's still alive, by the way. She must be 90 years old now. Barbara Eden. Let's see, how old is she? She's 89. Wow, she was born in Tucson, Arizona. Por cierto, Tucson, se pronuncia aquí Tucson. The pronunciation in English is Tucson. Tucson. She was born in Tucson, Arizona. And now she's living in Beverly Hills. Barbara Eden. She was very, very attractive. And when she was wearing the costume of the genie, La Genio, she was wearing a typical genie costume. So if you want to go back, if you can find it in YouTube, of course, where you can find it in Google Images, genie. She's 89 years old. Now, when was she born? Let's see, Barbara Eden. Let's see, she was born in 1931, August. Now, Larry Hagman was born in 1931, September 1931, September 21st, 1931. And Barbara Eden was born in August 1931. She was 1 month older than Larry Hagman. Just 1 month older. In fact, less. Well, yes, he was almost exactly 1 month older than Larry Hagman. But Larry Hagman died quite young. I don't know how old he was when he died, but let's see, he was 81. He died in 2012. And Jeannie is still alive. So, yes, I knew when I was a kid, when I was a little boy, I knew a girl by the name of Jeannie. So the name Jeannie rings a bell for several reasons. And the song I Dream of Jeannie and the TV show, the TV sitcom, todo junto, means situation comedy, comedia basada en una situación. Situation comedy, we say it, sitcom. All right, come on, more questions. Richard, are black olives healthier than green olives? I have no idea. I'm not an olive eater, by the way. Aceitunas, negras, verdes. I'm not an olive eater, really. Olives are a little bit too vinegary. Vinaigrette, they're too... And so I like just the normal, standard olives that they serve from a can. They're okay. I can eat them. But I will only eat olives if they serve olives with a beer. I mean, if I go to a bar, order something, and they put a few olives in front of me, I'll eat one or two. But I don't know which are healthier. Probably green olives. Are black olives healthier than green olives? Let's find out. There are no nutritional differences between green and black olives. Olives are endowed with high amounts of good monounsaturated fat and minerals, such as iron and copper. They are also rich in vitamin E, polyphenols and flavonoids. All right. Which are antioxidants that have anti-inflammatory benefits. All right. But I don't eat olives. I mean, I probably eat maybe 10 olives per year. 10 olives a year? 20 olives a year? So I don't eat enough olives to benefit from the antioxidants and the anti-inflammatory benefits, nor from the vitamin E. But so, according to Dr. Google, algún médico, black olives and green olives are equally healthy and recommendable. Okay, maybe I should eat some more olives, start eating more olives. Why not? Richard, yeah, have you ever run into a tree? No. I've never run into a tree. Do you mean walking or driving? Well, either one. Well, if you're driving your car and you run into a tree, it's really dangerous. I personally know one classmate of mine who died because the car ran into a tree. And then I know of other people who have died because their car ran into a tree. In the 1970s, one well-known newscaster or in Televisión Española driving through Casa de Campo, he was in a hurry. Apparently, he was late. And he was driving through the Casa de Campo to reach Prado del Rey, and he lost control of his car, ran off the road, and ran into a tree and died. He didn't show up for his TV show. I can't remember who that person was. Let's see, Murillo in Casa de Campo. Maybe I can find it. Camino de Prado del Rey. I don't remember. I don't remember who it was. I can't find it. It's interesting. Bento de Chalets in Villa del Prado. Okay, no, Prado del Rey. Camino de Televisión Española. Let me change it. Maybe we can find it. I can't find it. But in any case, if you're curious about that, I was probably 1978, something like that. Murillo en accidente de tráfico. Tráfico. Camino Televisión Española. So, I can't find it. But here is one. Las muertes de los famosos que nos han conmocionado. No. Un accidente en Casa de Campo. Let me put in Casa de Campo. Maybe I can find it. Camino de Televisión Española. I'll never find it. But that was a long time ago. A very, very long time ago. So, that was back in the times when Isabel Tenaille was the most popular female figure. And nobody remembers her, right? Tenaille. Nobody remembers her. But I do. I remember her. She was very popular on TV. She was the most commonly... Well, she was everywhere on television in the 1970s. So, and then she disappeared. Gone. Gone for good. But in any case, so, your question is, have I ever run into a tree? No, I've never run into a tree. With my car, nor walking. I've run into a pillar, walking, un pilar. I wasn't looking. I was looking at a girl in a library here in Spain. And boom, I ran into a pillar, which means be careful when you're walking. Now so many people are walking looking at their cell phones. I'm sure there are violent encounters. Boom, excuse me, I perdon. And they're looking at their cell phone. You need to be careful. I told you recently about one girl who was standing at the pedestrian crossing, the zebra crossing, what street? It was Ortega Set and here in Madrid, and Prisa Regatta. And she was standing, waiting, but she was reading her cell phone, and she was standing right at the edge of the street, holding out her cell phone, and a fellow on a motorcycle came by, took the cell phone, and she was shocked. And he continued, of course, he zoom, and she lost her cell phone. So be careful if you're standing at the curb in El Bordillo, at the beginning of a pedestrian crossing, waiting for the light to turn green for you, for the man to turn green to allow you to cross. Don't hold out your cell phone looking at it, because apparently this is not the first time this has happened. All right. I've never run into a tree with my car. I've never run into anything with my car. Well, I've run into the back of another car. Yes. But I've never run into a tree. More questions. All right, Richard, does water evaporate more slowly than alcohol? Yes. Well, I don't know. I'm pretty sure. Water evaporates. Evapora. Water evaporates more slowly than alcohol. Yes. Alcohol evaporates at a much faster rate compared to water. And why does alcohol evaporate more slowly than water? Well, I don't know. It has a lower boiling temperature. When does alcohol boil? Alcohol boils at 92 degrees Celsius. Excuse me, at 82 degrees Celsius. So if you pour alcohol into a pan, when it reaches 82 degrees, it starts boiling. And when does water boil? Water boils at 90 degrees Celsius. 90? Yes, water boils at 90 degrees centigrade or Celsius. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. No. Water boils at 100 degrees Celsius. Yeah? Oh, yeah, I'm confused. Of course, 90 degrees. The right angle boils at 90 degrees. That's right. Yes, the right angle boils at 90 degrees. So alcohol boils at 82 degrees. Water boils at 100 degrees, and the right angle, angulo recto, boils at 90 degrees, right? Richard, the right angle doesn't boil, but it's 90 degrees, right? Yes, but that's a geometric degree. That's not a thermal degree. I mean, we use the same word, grados, degrees, right? But the right angle doesn't boil. No, right angles don't boil. No, angles don't boil. Well, I'm sure if you make, you know, for example, if you make a right angle made of copper and you put it on heat, it will eventually turn to liquid and it will boil. Yeah, but it won't be a right angle anymore. It will have disintegrated into a pulp, into a mass of copper, probably. I don't know. So, yes, alcohol evaporates more quickly than water, and alcohol boils at a lower temperature than water. And due to its lower boiling temper, it's able to carry away more heat from the skin. So if you put oil on your skin, it removes heat. So, it's interesting, but Richard, yeah, do you use alcohol if you cut yourself? Do you put alcohol on the cut? Sometimes I do. Sometimes I put alcohol I mean, if I cut myself, if there's something, sometimes I'll, it depends. Sometimes I use alcohol and other times I use what you call here agua oxigenada, peroxide. Peroxide. How do you say agua oxigenada in English? I think we say peroxide. Let's see, agua oxigenada is, let's see. Si tienes una idea, no te eches agua oxigenada, dice aquí. All right. That's funny because ranchers use it. Peróxido de hidrógeno. Ranchers use it. Ranchers son propietarios de ranchos con sus animales, you know, when they, you can't use alcohol. If an animal, if a cow suffers an injury or a cut, you put alcohol, it stings too much and the cow will go crazy. They use peroxide. Peróxido de hidrógeno. Pero dice aquí, si tienes un idiota, no te eches. Okay. Es cierto que el agua oxigenada contiene propiedades antisépticas, pero también la lejía es un potente desinfectante. Y no nos la echamos sobre la piel. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I've used it a lot in my life. I use alcohol and interchangeably, maybe 50-50. And when I was a little boy, my mother put mercurochrome. Micromina, se dice aquí? It's red. The kids called it monkey blood. Mercurochrome. I don't even know how to spell it. I think in Spanish, micromina or mercromina. Mercromina is what? Mercromina? Is that what you say here? Mercromina. Yes. It's interesting. Mercromina is un tradicional antiséptico. And I can't find it in Spanish, in English. But we called it monkey blood when I was growing up.